God is eternal. That's not the same as immortal. God doesn't live forever. God is forever. God lives outside of time, outside of this very fundamental way that we perceive the world. Jesus reminded us that before Abraham was born, I am. God right now is before Abraham. He's also after the end of time. He's in all these times at once. If we were eternal like that, maybe we wouldn't need to watch episode after episode of the gospel. But we're creatures of the present, and we live in the now and nowhere else. So we tend to dwell on the immediate. We get caught up in now, and we forget the big story, and that forgetting causes us to sin. That's why God is telling us his story over and over again. Humans forget, we focus on the immediate, we sin, then God corrects us, and then God draws us back and blesses us. He tells us this story before it happens, as it's happening, and after it happened. And he's telling us the same story from before Abraham was born, and he will continue telling that same story until after every human kingdom. And one of the ways that God tells that story is through prophets like Daniel. Daniel in particular finds himself in the middle of the fulfillment of these prophecies. He's surrounded by repetitions of God's story. He and the Jews have been in exile in Babylon for 70 years when he writes this. I, Daniel, perceived in the books the number of the years that according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet must pass before the end of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas of mercy with fasting and sackcloth and even ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God, whose covenant and steadfast love for those who love him, we have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled. We turned aside from your commandments and rules. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, to all the people of our land. To you, Lord, belongs righteousness, and to us, open shame. The men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel, those who are near and those who are far away, in all the lands to which you have driven them, we have shame, because we've sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey your voice. And the curse and the oath that are written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, they've been poured out on us because we've sinned against him. By bringing upon us a great calamity, he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our rulers. For under the whole heaven, there has never been done anything like what was done against Jerusalem and against your holy hill. Sorry, I copied some stuff twice, so I have to skip past that. So Daniel finds himself right in the middle of the fulfillment of this prophecy. 70 years ago, Jeremiah prophesied that the exile to Babylon would last for 70 years. It's time for the exile to end and the Jews to go back to Jerusalem. So Daniel prays to God about this. You can hear the anticipation in his voice. Daniel is hearing God's message in this story about the past, and his prayer is reminding God about that prophecy. Daniel's retelling God's message to us as well. So let's go back one level, and let's look at where Daniel is reading this story out of the book of Jeremiah, the first time this message was given. So it's in Jeremiah 29. where Jeremiah says, "This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That you will call on me and come to pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from the place from which I carried you into exile." It says here that at the very beginning of the exile, Jeremiah is being reminded of God's promise to bring his people back. He's telling Israel God's message about how he will correct their sin and bless them. But if Jeremiah is being reminded of this promise, it means that it must have been promised before this. And Daniel actually mentions this as well. He says, "The curse and the oath that are written in the law of Moses has been poured out upon us because we've sinned against him." So actually, let's go back one more level and we can read about the original time that God told this story in Deuteronomy. So Deuteronomy 28, God is talking about the blessing that he's going to give the people of Israel when they move into the promised land. And he's just saying like, hey, everything's going to be great. If you obey me, you'll have lots of kids. There will be all the milk and honey you can eat. You'll be at peace. And then he goes on to say, but if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, your God, or be careful to do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall be upon you and overtake you. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that will be commanded you, the Lord will bring a nation against you from far away. From the end of the earth, swooping down like an eagle, a nation whose language you do not understand. A hard-faced nation who shall not respect or show the mercy to the young. So Babylon. They shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified walls in which you trusted will come down throughout your land. And when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse which I have set before you, and you shall call them to mind among the nations where the Lord your God has driven you and return to the Lord your God and obey his voice with all your heart and with all your soul, then the Lord God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you. He will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. And the Lord your God will bring you into the land that your fathers possessed, that you may possess it. And he will make you more prosperous and more numerous than your fathers. And you shall again obey the voice of the Lord and keep all his commandments that I commanded you today. So way, way before God brought the Jews back from the exile, way, way before they even went to exile, Moses was saying this to the ancient Israelites who were just entering the promised land after they were returning from the wilderness where they had gone into exile because of their sin. I guess this wasn't actually the first time that this story was told. If I had time, I'd take you all the way back to Adam and Eve, to the time they were exiled from the Garden of Eden, but God promised to draw them back through a son of Eve. I would take you forward after Daniel's life, to Ezra and Nehemiah returning to Jerusalem and rebuilding that temple, to where Zechariah tells the newly returned Jews that now that they're back in the Holy Land, they must render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the orphan, the immigrant, or the poor, and let none of you devise evil in your hearts. I would take you hundreds of years later to the destruction of that rebuilt temple, to the shattering of Judah, to the moment when the prophecies about Jesus on the cross were fulfilled. That moment was the crux of God drawing us back to his kingdom. I would take you to the disciples being exiled from Jerusalem into Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. We could go even further past modern day to the very end of all the earthly kingdoms that Daniel in the book of Revelations prophesy about, where we would hear about the ultimate and complete fulfillment of God drawing us into his kingdom. Prophecy is not for the past. And prophecy is not for the future. The truth is, prophecy is for the present. In the same way that history is a testimony about the past behaviors of God, prophecy is a testimony about the future behaviors of God. It is God speaking to us right now in the present is a way for us to learn the repeated styles of God, the brushstrokes that he uses over and over. These stories make up all 403 episodes of God constantly drawing us back from the exile of forgetfulness. The reason we need to know how to recognize the style and personality of our Creator is because that is how we recognize the great artist at work in us. Have you ever been in exile? Have you ever felt like you are in Babylon? Are you in the wilderness right now? Do you feel like you've been banished? Are you aching to return to your promised home? There was a time in my life, a period where I invited evil into my life. And I'm not going to go into the details today, but suffice it to say, I was a willing participant, even though I didn't understand what I was getting myself into. This went on for a few years until I had my first obsessive compulsive attack. Kind of the worst part about OCD is this, or at least my OCD, is this constant stream of like hateful and sexual thoughts. It's like your brain knows exactly what disgusts you most, and it knows the most horrible thing, and then it uses that knowledge to torment you. It goes straight for what you think is the worst. And these thoughts come into your head that you don't want, and you can't keep them out. And there's just, there's these constant, like, curses against God and blasphemy mixing around together in me with my own guilt and incessant prayers for forgiveness. I can easily just say it was torture. It was one of the darkest times of my life. And I know that, like, there must be a lot of people in this room who have dealt with mental illness in a similar way. And so some of you understand the kind of, crushing anxiety and tension that this kind of neurosis can cause. In a way, this was my exile to Babylon. And it took 2 years of suffering this way before I started to make the connection between my choices and my OCD. When I was finally aware enough to trade evil for my sanity, I started to pray to God. And I started to pray every single day. And every day, I could feel that prayer changing me. A few months later, my OCD had gone from life-ending torment to the mild annoyance that I've lived with all my life. God did not immediately swoop in and rescue me from that evil that I had invited into my life. He didn't shield me from that pain. Instead, he let me be led into exile. At a time when I was both farthest from God and most desperate to be near him. I could wonder about why I experienced that exile, but I've heard this story before. A few years later, as I was making a concerted effort to catalog all the reasons I believed in God, and I realized that my return from that pathological exile was reason number 3 why I believed in God. So this becomes a root of our belief and understanding in God. And the truth is, you can summarize the whole Bible in 5 words. God so loved the world. And you can take a step back and you can summarize that message in a little bit longer form in 1 sentence. God so loved the world that he sent his only son so that we could be drawn back to him. And if you want, you could summarize it again in a paragraph. God, or man forgot God and sinned, and God allowed them to be led away. But He gave his only son so that we could be drawn back to him and be blessed. If you want more detail, you can go back a step and you can look at the whole Bible, 66 books of that same message. But you can actually go further back from that to the unabridged, long-form version of that same story. And that's all of our lives. All of us are a brushstroke in one iteration of that story. One retelling of God's message. We should pray. God, thank you for always drawing us back. Thank you for going with us into exile. Thank you for celebrating with us when we return. Telling us, reminding us over and over again of your story. Please keep showing us, keep telling us, bringing us back to the big picture. Why don't we take a minute to think about a time that you have been in exile or been brought back to your promised home? Maybe it's the prayer of Jeremiah of sorrow, of being led away. Maybe it's the prayer of Daniel, begging to return. Maybe you say the prayer of Zechariah, celebrating coming back. Take a minute and pray that prayer to yourself, to God. God, thank you for letting us be part of your work. For painting us into your story. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, who was sacrificed so that we could be drawn back. Amen. We're going to go on to celebrate communion. And this bread and blood represents Jesus' body. It reminds us that we're constantly taking him in, that he's with us.